Is anybody else going upstairs? Is that it? I'm going to shut the door. There's nobody going now. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome out to our very first revival in the year of 2017. One of many. Before I get started, I have made me a little sticky note. There'll be no Sunday school class tomorrow, okay? We usually don't have it on revival time anyhow, but Sister Teresa, she's got that little bug and she's super sick. First time she's ever been this sick in her life. But that's what that bug does to you, doesn't it? Father, I surely do thank you for tonight. And I thank you for the people who came out to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, for those who came in here with open hearts, receptive to receive all that you have to give. Now, Father, I'm asking that your angelic host move throughout these chairs tonight. Meet each and every need, Father. Father God, cleanse your people totally and completely. Make them holy, Father God, from the inside out. And, Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm just going to make a statement about these women going to the Washington today to do what they did. You ladies are dumb. You're just biting the hand that's feeding you right now. Because God has called this man of God into the Oval Office. And, you know, I really don't care what he did years ago. They all didn't care what the other pastor did years ago, did they? No, pastor, I'm sorry, president. You know, he's asked God to forgive him. God has forgiven him. God has chosen him. And now we need to uphold him. And if you ladies think you have to go demonstrate somewhere, then you need to go get saved again. God is your source, not a bunch of women marching on Washington, yelling and screaming and carrying on. I guess that's what they did. I didn't even bother looking to see what they did. But I think that's a disgrace to the United States of America that women would do that. And what bothers me is a majority of them are Christian women who profess to know Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, you won't do stuff like that. So anyhow, that's my little thing about that. Well, God is good. And tonight, I ran across this article. I had a really good one. You get tomorrow morning. But anyhow, I ran across this article. And this lady wrote it. And I looked. It's all about stuff we've been talking about. But she put it together so well. And the name of her church is In His Presence. I thought, God, you're so awesome. You gave this word because it is a good word. And from a young lady in a church, it's called In His Presence. Now, many of God's soldiers have been hidden. Now, see, this is all things that we've been talking about, but, you know, it's just all condensed, all right? Many of God's soldiers have been hidden. You've known that you were made for more, but you can't seem to get out from behind the curtain of hiddenness. But now, hidden ones, it's time to rise into the Isaiah 49 mandate. Now, I always put my little stuff in here, too, you know, so it's just all not everything she says. The Isaiah 49 mandate is a set of 11 prophetic charges and reassurances originally given to Christ. However, they apply equally to Christ's body at this time. If you've been yearning to accomplish the great exploits you know God has called you to, here are the 11 charges and reassurances that God is speaking to you right now. And when I read this, I thought about you complaining people in here and how you've been trying to do your thing your way ahead of God, you know, and getting excited because he hasn't moved when you thought he should move. So listen carefully, listen up to what God is saying right now. The Isaiah 49 mandate, Isaiah 49. Anyhow, you know, I've been waiting for this for 30-some years. You guys have been waiting for it for 5 or 6, so I don't know what you're getting all excited about. The Isaiah 49 mandate, Isaiah 49:1. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. You hear that? From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. God has called each one of you from the womb of your mother, and he's been trying to get you to the place where he can use you without bringing all your dumbness up and messing things up. All right? So Isaiah 49:1, the Lord wants to reassure you that he has called you from the womb. God wants you to remember that he has always known you, and he has always known your name. See, some of you act like he just now found out who you were. It's not true. He has known you from eternity past, and you are never overlooked nor forgotten. He threw you on the womb of your mother for such a time as this. Everyone that's being called right now, this is your timing. Back in 1977, God told me, I said, God, I've wasted so much of my life. He said, no, I brought you for this time back then. And I got to thinking of all the wonderful, great, wonderful things God, you know, allowed me to do and used me to do. And then when I went into my dry season, he told me not to get excited and not to want to go back to what I had, because what he's taken me into is far greater than what I've leaving behind. It was really hard for me not to keep looking back, because to me what he was doing was absolutely positively marvelous. But yet he kept saying, don't do that, because what I'm taking you into is far greater. So, you know, you have not wasted your time. You weren't ready yet to even do the things God called you for to do. God had to train you and get you ready for such a time as this. You have to understand that your life has a purpose. The timing of your life is all important. And Father God knows exactly where you are, who you are, and everything that's going on in your life right now. He knows all that. Isaiah 49:2, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. God did all those things, but yet he's hidden me, it says. Yet many of you have been feeling hidden and passed over, feeling that no one sees you or values you. Are you seeing this? In most cases, it's not all in your head. People truly have not seen you with spirit eyes or valued you like they should. However, it's crucial for you to realize that you aren't the only one who has felt that way. God always says you're not the only one in the boat. There's many more in the boat with you. All right. Jesus himself, about whom this passage was originally written, felt hidden because he was hidden. You are hidden. So you're not feeling wrong, is what we're saying here. But God is getting ready. He's been telling you, I'm going to bring you forth overnight. Suddenly, in the wink of an eye, I'm going to thrust you out there into your ministry. Jesus was hidden like an arrow in the quiver of God. God hid his own son in his quiver and kept him there unseen by men until the right time. And at the appointed time, God took Jesus out of his quiver and shot him like an arrow into his destiny. Are you hearing this? You've been hidden as well. Being hidden has been frustrating, and you felt like this hiddenness has been unjust. However, God wants you to know that he cooks the best things the longest. Amen. Which is better, eating from a pot of chili that has been cooking an hour, or eating from a pot of chili that has been simmering for 3 days? The 3-day chili is better, of course. It has been cooking long enough for the flavors to have marinated together into one cohesive whole. In the same way you've been cooking in God's slow cooker for many years. All right? You see what's going on in your life? Some of you know you were not ready a week ago to be thrust out into the ministry because you're too messed up. And you know that you're still not right today. You're still not ready to be thrust into the ministry. Each day some of you are seeing things daily that God has to get out of you in order to use you to his fullest. So even today, you need to quit complaining that God is not doing and using you the way you think he should. So many times you've wanted out of that hidden place. You've known you could function on the outside just as well as others around you. However, God wants you to know that you were not made to be like the people around you. He needs you to go higher in order to increase his government on the earth. Are you listening? And the best things take the longest to cook. What's he say? You've been through the furnace of affliction over and over and over again. God is a master chef. He's been cooking you a long time, but now he's ready to pull you out of his quiver and shoot you into your destiny. Isaiah 49:3-4. And he said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God." Isaiah said he labored in vain. How many of you think, well, I've been going to church here and I've been faithful and I've been doing this and I've been doing that and God's not used me. He's passed me over and everything I've done is in vain. That's not true. Anything you do for God glorifies him and it's not wasted. God always wants you to know that he claims you as his servant. He is reassuring you right now that he will be glorified in you. You have often felt that your work has been for nothing. You've anguished in your heart that you've spent your strength for God, but have nothing to show for it. See, just the other day I was in town and I was happening to go around the corner and start walking down an aisle, and there was a pastor, and I saw that they saw me, but they hurried up and turned their head and started fooling with the stuff on the shelf. And then I thought, well, I'm going to have to walk on down there and go by them because I'm not going to turn my cart around and go the opposite direction. So as I got to them, they said, "Well, hi." You're like, "I have to, hi." And then he reached over and I stopped and I said, "How are you?" And they said, "Fine." They reached over and hugged me. It was a woman. And then they said, "How are you? What are you doing in here?" And I saw, "I'm replacing my kitchen sink." And they kept on walking, you know. But it wasn't a "Hi, I'm so glad to see you. All right, so we've come face to face and I have to acknowledge you." And I went home upset. I said, "God, they're still rejecting me for what? They're judging me, and they don't even know what you're asking me to do." All right? God, when are you ever going to cause us to stop? I think that's why I ran across this article. Amen. So because he's given me a lot of promises, and he's given you a lot of promises. It doesn't matter if people want to accept you. God accepts you. And see, God can never ask that pastor to do what he's asked me to do. There's no way in this world that he could ever do that. But yet they can't understand why God asked me to do things he asked me to do. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Nevertheless, you've clung steadfastly to the Lord. You've trusted and believed him for harvest, even when you have seen no harvest with your natural eyes. How many years I've been telling you the glory's coming? If Chris would here tell you right down to the second. Over 8 years, and still I don't see the harvest of the glory. Number one, God honors your steadfastness. Number two, he sees your faithfulness. And today he wants to reassure you, your work has not been for nothing. He will be glorified in you, and he cherishes you. You are his beloved child. And you are a valuable, profitable servant to him. He honors you and appreciates your service. God is upgrading your assignment. We're going to do the greater works, remember? So he's upgrading our assignments. Isaiah 49:5-6 says, "And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him, for I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." God said, "It was a small thing that I have you do, so I'm going to exalt you." See that? He said, "Indeed," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel." So I thought, well, maybe he's going to give me some more people other than the ones he had me ministering to. He said, "Because of your faithfulness, God is upgrading your assignment. God has always intended to use you to bring his people back to him. His hand has always been on you." You have to get this down in your spirit or you're not going to make it. However, you previously thought you would reach one people group. This is where I thought, well, okay, so I've always thought I'd reach one people group. I really believe now we're going to reach other people groups, okay? But now God says that your first assignment is too small. I thought about your deliverance team. You're going to get bigger. You didn't know it, but he's had better things in store for you all along, and he is releasing you into the bigger assignment. Isn't he giving you more and more deeper revelation? Stuff you've never heard or read anyplace else? See, he's giving you a deeper revelation. Your divine upgrade extends now to the ends of the earth. In the coming days, you will find your horizon widening. The increase in spiritual vision is from the Lord. This increase in spiritual vision is from the Lord. If you have a vision about increase, it's from God. You will find that your prior limits have been removed. See that your prior limits have been removed and the former boundaries erased. Your testimony, your witness will now extend to the ends of the earth, and you will demonstrate God's salvation, his Yeshua Jesus, around the globe. And as I was typing that, God said, I've told you I'm going to send you to the nations, and I'm going to send you to the nations. So, you know, guys, whatever God has told you, he's going to do it now. He's been getting you ready for such a time as this. He has been getting you delivered, you know, if you needed delivered. He's been growing you up in the Lord. He's been getting your integrity in place. He's been getting your righteousness in place. He's been getting you to become holy as he is holy, because he's now ready to extend your assignments. He's now ready to push you out there to the ends of the earth. How many of you, don't raise your hands or anything, but how many of you, has God said, you will minister to other churches and you will teach other churches what you know? Now's the time that that's going to happen. Psalm 2:8, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. I have that on my computer. It's a little slip there, and I say that every day because that's what he's promised me. Amen. Isaiah 49:7, days of being despised and abhorred are over. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. That's to you. He's chosen you to do this mighty work that he needs done in this world. Why? Do you know how many people are not faithful to God? Do you understand how many people just sit and go to the house of God one way and stay that way? They never change. So God has been trying to change each and every one of you as you come in here, trying to get you to that place where he can use you. And only you and God know, I know too, whether or not he can use you, all right? But so don't lie to yourself. Don't self-deceive yourself. You know where you're at with God, and have you really been allowing him to change you, your mindsets? Have you really been allowing him to bring you to that place of righteousness in him? Have you really been working at becoming holy as he is holy? If you've been doing all that stuff, then now is the time that he's going to start exalting you and sending you forth. People have failed to see you with spirit-led perspective. They have seen only in the natural, failing to look at you with God's eyes. Nevertheless, you have continued to serve those in authority over you. You have faithfully served someone else's greater vision, as is fitting in the kingdom. Now I'm going to stop there, because as I was typing this, I thought about Brother Brett. When I first met Brother Brett, he was the black sheep of everything, not just the family, but of everything. And all the people that talked about him and put him down. And when I met him, he was a black sheep too. I agreed, all right? And now I'm seeing him far surpassed all those who put him down. And remember God said a while back, now is when the head's going to be the tail and the tail will be the head. Well, see, now before he was always the tail. Now he has become the head. And the ones who put him down are now the tail. And he's more favored in God's eyes than the ones who were over him, were greater than he was before. See how God works this out? Now, he's going to have to stomp pride to death after I said all that. But he's been really getting his deliverances. He's really been set free. See, this is what it's all about, is those who were exalted over him won't get a deliverance because, after all, you know, well, what are you? You're demon-possessed. You're full of demons and pride, and that's why you won't get a deliverance. But I tell you what, these people, that's all they do is deliverance. You know, Adam and Aaron and these two are always, they send me emails, well, I delivered so-and-so, we did deliverance so-and-so, this come out, that come out. I said, well, they're always doing deliverance because they want to be set free. Now, do you really want to be set free is the question. If you do, then you're going to be in the deliverance chair a lot too. Come on. So I said, people have failed to see you with spirit-led perspective. When they looked at Brett, they thought he's going to end up in hell for sure. They never saw anything spiritual about him. They had a right to look at that, right? But see, God's looking through different eyes. He's looking through his eyes, and he sees Brett as he wanted Brett to be. God wants you to know today that it is his way to honor you. In your new assignment now, guys, Brother Alan's always talking, well, I don't know why I couldn't be on a deliverance team. Well, you have a new assignment. Say, we need to quit fussing about these things. God has you on a new assignment. Those in authority will listen to you in this new assignment because God's anointing and glory on you will be so obvious. As long as you're complaining, why can't I be a deliverance team minister? You won't have no glory on you. You understanding this? Come on. We have to move with God. We have to do the things that God is calling us to do. God will honor you with influence for the sake of his Christ. His stamp of approval will be obvious to all who see you. Well, I don't know why Pastor Barbara doesn't let me preach anymore. She must not like me. That's a lie from hell. You know, if God tells me to have you preach, I'll have you preach. And really, I don't think about you otherwise because I have too much of my plate as it is. So God might have you on a different assignment. And one of them is not preaching right now. He might have you doing something else. I know that goes on in here because I hear your talk. I hear your thoughts. And I think, my God, Lord, when are you ever going to get them straight? You know, quit thinking that those are dumb things. That's of the enemy. Now, you are becoming a spiritual father or mother. How long ago did, I'm sorry to pick on you two, how long ago did he tell you two that? And they didn't know what it meant. He wasn't even a spiritual father to his kids. How could he be a spiritual father to other spiritual people, right? Isaiah 49:8-9. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastors shall be on all desolate heights. This is what God's doing with you. He's been working with you. Why? So that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. You getting this? Down in your spirit? I don't want to hear you complaining after tonight. I lost my place. Now God is giving you as a gift to his people. See, he had to get you cleaned up before he could give you as a gift to his people. You are to become a spiritual father or mother. Father has heard your cry, and that he has now given you personally as a gift to the people. You may think that is a prideful thing to imagine, but it's not. God has crafted you in his hands all this time, specifically to be a gift to his people. And as God's gift, his covenant to his people, you have four assignments. One, to bring restoration over all the earth. Two, to hand out spiritual inheritance that have lain desolate and unused, causing those inheritances to be picked up and used again. Three, to command those who are bound in darkness to come into the light, freedom and abundance that Christ died to give us. And four, to help those who have been hiding to rise up and put their hands to the plow, fully occupying themselves with God's call. This is assignments we have to do. All these things are what spiritual fathers and mothers do. You know, like Brett is mentoring Adam and Aaron. Aaron gives Brett a lot of grief because he wants it done now. But spiritual father, you have to show grace and you have to mentor him as a father to build him up so we can go forth and do the things that God's called him forth to do. Now, Isaiah 49, 8, 9 is a description of making disciples like Jesus did, which is fathering and mothering. You are now to become a spiritual father or mother. You are to raise up every person you can into his or her spiritual inheritance. You know, whenever you become a mentor or a spiritual father or mother, whatever you want to call it, and the one you're mentoring thinks that they're higher and know more than you do, you have to be careful that you don't walk into anger that how dare they think they know more than I do. And you have to be able to minister to them in their dumb way of thinking and bring them back down to earth that, hey, if I knew more than they did, I wouldn't be here. You know, I wouldn't be sitting under them. I would be have other people sitting under me. All right? You are to raise up every person you can into his or her spiritual inheritance. You are to encourage, equip, and build up God's people to walk in the light. This is your assignment, guys. But you know what happens in the body of Christ? Everybody thinks that everybody should be bowing down to them. Nobody thinks they should be a servant, but they think everybody should be bowing down to them. Isaiah 49, 9b through 12. As you go about fulfilling your assignment, be assured of God's provision. And Isaiah 49, 9 says, they shall feed along the roads, and their pasture shall be all on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. That's God has mercy on you. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. God is going to take care of you as you become a spiritual mother or father. As you go about the work of raising people up into their inheritance, God is going to provide good pasture for you and yours. See, this is now, as you go about the work of raising people up into their inheritance, this is where a lot of leaders fail. They cannot see anybody go beyond their talent. They cannot imagine anybody else being more anointed than they are. And this is where the body of Christ fails, because what you do is you keep people bound under you. And you were not supposed to do that. We're supposed to encourage him to go forth and do everything that God has called him forth to do. God is going to provide good pasture for you and yours. He's going to take care of you. He will feed you in high places. You will have all the safety and provision you need. For Jesus himself, that great shepherd of the sheep, will lead you and guide you. You, the one that's helping others excel. And as God leads you along his high roads, you will find others following you from places you never expected. In other words, as you help others excel, then God's going to send others to you. People you never expected to come under you. God's mercy and covenant, Isaiah 49, 13. You're about to see the manifestation of God's mercy and covenant in your life. And Isaiah 49, 13 says, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. That's a lot of you think that all the time. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Well, that they can. And not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. God's not man, he's not woman, he's not going to forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, your walls are continually before me. Beloved, you have seen much hardship and tribulation in years past. All right, well, I just finished reading the scripture. Then I said, beloved, you have seen much hardship and tribulation in years past, have you not? Now we are moving into a season where, because of the covenant God has made with us, his people, we will see manifestations and demonstration of his mercy instead. Psalm 106:44. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. See what God did? He relented. Isn't that what it says? Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, you and God, and for their sake he remembered his covenant that he made with them and relented according to the multitudes of his mercies. Do you think God can't relent on your behalf too? Do you think he can't come to your aid and assist you when the enemy has you bound? Why do you put him in a box? He can do anything. Covenant and mercy go together, and we, God's people, are not like other people who do not have a covenant. Because we have been grafted into God's covenant with Abraham through Christ, we have access to all the power, provision, protection, and mercy that that covenant carries. So we need to start rejoicing instead of sitting around with long faces and complaining. Let rejoicing and singing break forth from your heart and life and call on God's mercy by virtue of his covenant. You guys did a really good job of rejoicing tonight, and I thank you for it. The Lord will never give up on us, excuse me, and we should never give up on others either. Hello. The Lord will never give up on us, and we should never give up on others. I had to say, forgive me, Lord. How many of you really wanted to give up on others? One time I wanted to give up on Alan, smack him really good, but I didn't. Instead, I prayed. As you walk through the process of becoming a spiritual father or mother, you may wonder sometimes if you should give up on people or situation. The answer is no. Every one of us in here tonight, we have run across people that we've been mentoring that we would like to say, oh, God, just go get me a basin in the water so I wash my hands of them. And if you're, don't say you're so pious because you have. And you might not want to admit it, but you have. The Word of God says that he will never forget us, for we are his children. We are inscribed in the palms of his hands. In the same way, since we are to become like Christ in all things, we are never to give up on anybody. Unless God tells you to quit praying for them, you have to pray for them. I was talking to somebody the other day, just making a statement, and I heard God say they have their place in a lake of fire. I can't pull them out of that lake. I've been praying for years for that person. That person's done now. My assignment with that person is finished. I don't like that, but they had every opportunity to get it together, and they didn't. All right? In the same way, since we are to become like Christ in all things, we are never to give up on anybody. We are never to forget even the least of these. Well-meaning people may try to convince you to walk away from certain people, but don't listen. That's why that pastor didn't want to talk to me, because they think that I'm not right. Believe in your sons and daughters unflinchingly. Love them enduringly and unconditionally. And at times, guys, that's going to be hard. All right? Such is the heart of God for us, and this must be our heart of love for others as well. Your children are coming home. God has promised me that he's a daughter, and he showed me a vision of my kids. One hand up near, the other holding the Bible, sitting in the house of God, praising God. And that's been years ago, and they have gone down some roads that I never thought they'd go down. But God's always told me, I gave you a vision. Hang on to the vision. Amen. Isaiah 49:17 says, your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. For your waste and desolate places in the land of your destruction will even now be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children you will have after you have lost the others will say again in your ears, the place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell. Then you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me? Since I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and wandering to and fro, and who has brought these up? There I was, left alone, but these, where were they? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. We have to understand that we have to go through some shameful things through our children, and I'm also talking about spiritual children, before God can get them cleaned up. And we are not to forsake them. We are not to wash them off of our hands, but we are supposed to pray, intercede, until God says either they're not coming in or you see them come in. Many of us have wandering children, natural or spiritual, and you've been wondering if they will ever come back. It's not that you're doubting God's ability to bring them back. Rather, you have been asking yourselves, will my children ever choose to get right with God? Will I ever reap the love and relationship into which I have sown all these years? And the answer to those questions is yes. Isaiah 49 says that all the forces that laid you waste are fleeing from you right now. All your enemies are running away from you. And you have found great favor in the eyes of God. And everything God has promised you is beginning to come to pass. And God said what you've done will bring much fruit in this season that we're in right now. Look up, your children are coming home. Yes, you shall have your children back. Destruction is fleeing from you, and your children are going to return to honor you. Your kids, are just like my kids, are going to go down some dark roads that you wish they would never go down. But, you know, you can't stop them from going down these dark roads. You know, if they make those choices, then that's their choices. And all you can do is sit back and maybe cry, pray a lot, and wait till they come to their senses and return to God. That's all you can do. You cannot force them to serve God. You can't. And destruction is springing from you, and your children are going to return to honor you. It may take time. God's work in your children is a process. But Isaiah 49:20 guarantees that the children you thought were lost to you will return to you. They will actually ask you to make room for them in your life again. It's awesome that I ran across this, because I just said today, I'll tell you what, they'll never come back again. So here's God and all his little grace. I know he must look down at me and say, what a mess she becomes. But Isaiah 49:20 guarantees that the children you thought were lost to you will return to you. They will actually ask you to make room for them in your life again. And when they do, be sure to answer with love and grace. Put your ring on that child's finger. Place your best robe on their back. Come on. Throw a party in their honor. Your child that was lost will be found again. The children you thought left you, bereaved, will again be the children of your inheritance. Our babies are coming back home. Our kids are, God has promised me that, and I forgot it. Our babies are coming back home. I even said one day, I don't care where they go. I don't ever want to see them again. I'm being honest with you. What they did was unreal. But so good. Put your ring on that child's finger. Place your best robe on your back. Isn't that what God does to us? Come on, God told us what 3 years ago, the prodigals are coming home. You know, you were a prodigal at one time too. And weren't you glad God welcomed you with open arms? You know, didn't you do some dumb things while you were out there being the prodigal? And when the enemy takes you out there, he just doesn't take you out to say, ah. No, he takes you out there to destroy you. Isaiah 49:24, you're going to be safe in this new assignment. Isaiah 49:24 says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. See this? God's going to do the contending for you. I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. We should be walking around rejoicing and singing and laughing 24/7 because God has us in the palm of his hands. He's already defeating our enemies for us, and we really have nothing to fear. We really don't. We have everything we could ever want. Mighty men can be defeated, but the Lord God of heaven cannot. In this season, know that God himself will contend with him who contends with you. He's not only saving your children, but he's perfecting everything else that concerns you too. The God of angel armies is on your side, and he has something to prove. You are not alone. God himself has promised that he will protect and defend you so powerfully that all flesh shall know that he is your Savior, your personal Savior, who shows himself mighty on your behalf. Have you ever watched as God does this to you, the people around about you get so jealous, they'd like to slap your head off your shoulders? They can't believe that you're so favored in God's eyes that God will destroy all your enemies for you. Have you ever noticed that? Well, start looking around because that's going on. They become so jealous, that devil in them becomes so jealous because you have made the grade and God is fighting your battles for you. Amen. You went out, stepped out of the enemy's camp, went into God's camp, and God takes care of his own. Know this, if you've been hidden, you have a powerful new assignment. He's going to take you out of the basement, Brother Allen. Come on. If you've been hidden, you have a powerful new assignment. This little church has been hidden here in this rundown building. We have a powerful new assignment. Amen. You are to become a spiritual father and mother, raising people up into their lost inheritances. Your influence is to extend over all the earth if you ask for nations. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. God will perfect all things that concerns you as you do his work. As you do his work. And you don't have to fear any part of his mandate on your life. And God wants to know, will you accept the challenge that he's laid before you tonight? Will you just go ahead and allow him to pull you out of that hidden place that you've been in? And will you allow him to place that powerful anointing upon you that you will become the true spiritual father or mother that you're called to become? With an anointing that will destroy every yoke in the children's lives, that, you know, and I'm talking about grown-ups, in the children's lives that God places around about you, and you will set the captives free through that anointing. And you won't exalt yourself in doing this, because it's God's power, it's God's authority, it's God's anointing, and he's using you as a spiritual father and mother to bring others into the kingdom for such a time as this. On the 20th, a whole lot of shifting took place. America is going to be great once again. The church is going to be great once again. Because there's going to be true spiritual mothers and fathers in the house of God. Holiness will abound. Sin natures will be done away with. And we'll be able to bring the lost souls into the kingdom, just as God brought us into the kingdom. God is separating the chaff from the wheat. He's told me he's no longer going to allow the chaff to sit in the house of God with the wheat. Because the chaff has had plenty of time to get their act together, and they haven't. They've told him, spit in his face, and told him, I don't want you, because I'm not going to change. I like what I do. And you're Jezebel from hell. Destroying the body of Christ, and God's not going to put up with it any longer. I really believe with every fiber of my being that we're going to go back to the Ananias and Sapphira days. We're going to drop dead in the house of God. That struck me. I was talking the other night, and that struck me so hard. In fact, I said it to somebody. This is where we're at, guys. Where are you at? Where are you at? The deliverance team is getting stronger and stronger in their deliverances. They sent me a video of one of the guys that they did. He was just speechless. I think his favorite word was wow. But, you know, God is doing great and mighty things. And the only way you can do great and mighty things to the deliverance team is because all four of them are working diligently to set yourselves free, to get out of the bondages Satan has had you in. And because you're doing that, you found favor in God's eyes. And God can use you now to deliver others. You are becoming spiritual mothers and fathers. And God's, I really believe he's already given the deliverance team a new assignment. You go deeper into the throes of hell and really get all the junk out of people. But the rest of you in here tonight, I don't know what your callings are, but God wants to give you a brand new assignment. And he wants to send you forth to do a great mighty works for him. All right. Are you ready for revival to break out inside of you? Come on. You know, God told me, he said, those who have shunned me and ridiculed me and mocked me and scorned me will come into the Lighthouse Church and sit under my teaching. He's going to make them do that. He's going to show them that I'm his child, always been his child, whether they thought so or not. Amen. This is what God's going to do to you guys, too. I don't care what's been going on in your life. God is going to show people that you were his all along. And that you paid the price, the ultimate price. Got yourself cleaned up. And now you're ready to go on a new assignment to break the devil's back. Tonight, God wants you, he's saying, will you accept the challenge to be a spiritual mother and father? And he wants to place that anointing on you that destroys every single solitary yoke. How many of you are tired of being a Christian and being sick? I was on my soapbox back there with Brother Adam tonight, and he just sat there and listened intently to what I was saying. But I don't believe that any child of God should be sick. I really don't. I really believe they shouldn't. It didn't used to be that way. So while we, you know, we need to get this thing taken care of. We need to get this thing under the button. We need to. You're out there preaching healing, and you're dying. Now, isn't that dumb? That's not that Jesus didn't do that, did he? He preached healing and deliverance, and he wasn't bound and he wasn't sick. All right, and God wants us to have that powerful anointing, where we will do the very same thing. Are you ready? The altar's open. Anointing to be a spiritual father and mother. See, you have to be one that's been working really hard at getting yourself together. When you're working really hard at getting yourself together, then God can use you. But remember what I said. I really believe that you're going to be struck dead if you come up here at this altar and you're mocking God. You're not really trying to get yourself right. You're just in the house of God to cause confusion. I would be really afraid to do that.